from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is Danny and Dusty.
It's not your problem, Doc. You don't have to mix up in this.
That is a hell of a thing for you to say to me.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
Go ahead. Go ahead, skin it. Skin that smoke wagon and see what happens.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm your Huckleberry.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty on this Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for being a part of our day, letting us be a part of yours. Hour number one, we talked a little bit about the Civil War. We got a poll up at Danny and Dusty on the Twitters right now. With Oregon and Oregon State in different conferences, the Civil War will mean more, mean less, not change. Go out there and vote. At Danny and Dusty on Twitter. We'll revisit that in the 2 o'clock hour. But we do have this game is coming up on us. It's a September game for Oregon and Oregon State, a uncharted territory for the Civil War. Usually in November, we're usually used to it being cold and dreary. It's going to be sunny and 72, but there's a lot more that is different and at stake in this game, because you look at the way that Oregon State has operated over the first 2 weeks of the season. They have been running the damn ball on repeat in a spin cycle. They are currently fourth in college football in attempts per game at 54.5. They rank fifth in yards per game in all of college football at 299 yards per game. It is feasting at the line of scrimmage and running the football. And this is kind of, I think, for Oregon State fans, exactly what you wanted to see in the first 2 weeks of the season, being 2-0, going on the road, winning at San Diego State in the fashion that you did. It wasn't just the fact that you shut out an opponent, but you got to stop on a goal line. You created a turnover on the goal line and just kind of suffocated San Diego State, which they've got their issues of their own. But you had a running back that went off the week before for 223 yards against Texas A&M Commerce, but went off for 223, made a statement. Marquez Cooper said, you know, I'm trying to show people I'm the best running back in the Mountain West Conference. Ashton Gentry had something to say about that in two straight weeks.
Yeah.
Not sure anybody's really going to believe that one moving forward, but you bottled him up, and he is a track record, and he's been a really productive back. I mean, Cooper came into that game as the active leading rusher in the FBS, career-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he gets yards. Sean Lewis loved to feed him at Kent State. He went to Ball State last year, had a productive season. Now he's at San Diego State. He's a really fine running back in a team that prides itself on the rushing attack. And Oregon State has been doing a phenomenal job through the first 2 weeks, playing very disciplined football. And when you are as dominant as you have been at the line of scrimmage on defense and on offense, even against Idaho State and San Diego State, they are playing with incredible discipline up front. Offensively, I think it's even more staggering with all of the changes that we've talked about. You know, Josh Gray stays, and that was a huge, huge, huge hold for Oregon State. to have him not leave the portal, not go to greener pastures. You get the two transfers from Colorado. You have Grant Stark back, the Thurston product, who stays and anchors the other side of the offensive line. This team and what Kyle DeVan has been able to do up front as the offensive line coach, what Ryan Gunderson, their offensive coordinator, has done from a play calling standpoint, knowing the limitations and kind of working in so many new pieces on the outside, the weapons that Jonathan Smith had brought in, deuces, see you later. Mm-hmm. It's a completely different receiving core. Javonte McCoy has not looked incredibly efficient or like a guy who's comfortable in the offense yet throwing the football. But they haven't needed to because the run game has been so... I mean, in when you're averaging over 5 yards a carry...
It's not too shabby.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. They have done, on the offensive line, through their first 2 weeks against Idaho State and San Diego State, which, I mean, if we're being quite honest, they are the lesser versions of the two teams that Oregon played in Idaho and Boise State. Mm-hmm. But the talent gap was greater between Oregon and Boise State than the talent gap between Idaho State and San Diego State. Mm-hmm. And Oregon State has won the line of scrimmage in both of those games. And there is plenty of reason for Oregon State fans to be optimistic about not just keeping this game close, but watching the way that Oregon has escaped their first 2 weeks of the season, that, hey, this ain't going to be just some pushover like everybody thought it was going to be, you know, last summer, where you have Oregon national title contender, this juggernaut rolling in. The offensive line issues that have plagued Oregon through the first 2 weeks of the season, you know, there's no guarantee that's going to be cleaned up.
Right.
Right. Even if Matthew Bedford does come back, I think the O-line rotation does get better and is deeper and is bolstered, especially the interior offensive line rotation looks a heck of a lot better. But there's no guarantee with a guy who's never played in the system and never played alongside the guys that they are going to just be, Bedford gets back, there, it's fixed. Dave Aiuli gets back, boom, they're fixed. No, there's going to be a lot that needs to play out. I thought, and again, I talked about this yesterday with Oregon's offensive line, they did find a more fluid rotation, a more effective group when they went Connerly at left tackle, Nashad Strother at left guard, who didn't play in week one, Poncho at center, Marcus Harper jumping from left guard to right guard alongside of Johnny Cornelius. You look at the pressures that were allowed, far less and infrequent than in the first game and in that first half against Boise State. You ran the ball for 93 yards in the second half against Boise State. Only 16 yards when that group didn't play together in the first half. You're starting to find that, you know, and Lanning talked about this, you know, with that offensive line group in his presser.
We'll watch the film and see, right? Again, I always talk about if you're good enough, you're old enough. Ever since I've been here, we've rotated on the offensive line when we had players that were able to do that. You know, JPJ was rotating early on, you know, his first year. Last year we had, you know, Poncho rotating in. So that's not uncommon for us to get, you know, the best guys in the lineup and keep guys fresh. So we'll watch the film, evaluate it, and figure out, you know, our best five or six or seven, whoever that might be, that can play winning football for us.
Yesterday in Lanning's press availability on Monday nights that he does, there was a line of, hey, we're going to play who's good enough to play. Like, in kind of saying right there,
yeah,
if you're good enough, you're young enough, right? That it doesn't matter if they're a freshman or, you know, a sixth year redshirt senior. But he also mentioned last night that if those guys were doing the, if the young guys were doing the things that they need to do in practice to get in that, to that rotation, we would play them and we will play them, but it's just not there right now. Right.
Right.
And I think if Bedford does come back this week, that gets your depth gets a little bit more clear. Mm-hmm. And if Aiuli comes back relatively soon, I think then you're feeling a heck of a lot better about your depth and your rotation up front. First 2 weeks, they haven't had it. And that doesn't excuse, though, the fact that, you know, this Oregon program has prided itself on depth and depth up front. What Oregon State has done is they get pillaged in the portal when Jonathan Smith leaves. they backfilled their roster with two guys from Colorado that Deion just kicked to the curb and unceremoniously threw under the bus several times last year. And they're playing really well right now. This group is playing really well up front for Oregon State. The biggest test that they will have to date is going to come on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't take that film off and you can't take the production that they've had away.
Yeah. Well, and it wasn't too long ago that the Beavers just, you know, ran the ball basically, was it every play of the second half or every play but one?
I think all but two in that second half.
Yeah.
Yep.
To come back and win that Civil War. And so with the way that they're running the ball and with the frequency they're running the ball, is that a product of the faith they have in the quarterback play?
I think it might be just making sure he is comfortable there and you knowing that you're going to have some growing pains, but it's not. And this is always the thing that we always react over week one, whether it's the NFL or college. And we don't want to allow for that room for growth. And I think that coaches coach to a growth curve in a lot of programs that are not your Georgia's, Ohio State, and Texas, right? Mm-hmm. Or to be quite honest, where we thought Oregon was going to be at the beginning of the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have that growth curve that you're teaching to and coaching to in this progression over the course of the season of, all right, we start here and we build our offense up and we break our tendencies as the season goes on and grows by adding wrinkles to what we do. And we expand that playbook a little bit more. I think that may be where Oregon State is right now. And also, don't mess with the results that are positive, right, too.
Yeah.
You know, you have this growth curve that you're coaching on, but you also don't want to do something for the sake of doing it. If you're being productive running the ball and you're doing it at a ridiculously high clip, yeah, you keep doing that.
Run the ball.
That is where I think we may see a change in the offense this year is as you get into week three of the regular season, you do start expanding that playbook a little bit more. And you are going to have to ask guys to do a little bit more as, you know, some guys get nicked up, as competition gets better. You are going to have to expand that playbook out. The reality of it is that I know that, you know, Oregon and Oregon State fans alike have been like, why don't we just, you know, air the ball out?
Open this sucker up.
Why don't we open up the playbook and be less conservative? Well, running the ball has been working for Oregon State, and now you haven't needed to.
Yeah, and it's allowing room to grow.
For everyone else.
Yes.
Across all position groups. So, and that is, this is kind of that weird feeling about, you know, or this game this weekend is, you have two teams that are 2-0. First time we've ever had a Civil War with undefeated teams. Uh-huh. How about that?
Yeah, hey, all right.
You want spin zone? You want spin zone? Let's give the spin zone right there.
We might want to put a little asterisk on that one, but you know, yeah.
All right.
It's still a fact.
We will. It's a fact that is happening. Both teams 2-0.
Yeah.
All right. One feeling really good about where they are at. The other one at 2-0, a lot of unrest and uneasiness about their play and their production. But the reality of it is, at some point, you know, for if you are Oregon, you've got to put it all together. And it has been too long to see the wide gaps in consistency of play.
Mm-hmm.
And if they put it together this weekend, and if you look at the way that Vegas has approached this game with the point spread and all that, they're still thinking that the fatal flaw of Oregon still isn't there.
Right.
Because the fatal flaw would be they see something that say that can't be fixed,
mm-hmm.
where a double-digit point spread turns into, yeah, they're favored by 3 now.
Yeah.
Right? For Oregon State, it is you're riding this high. You've been playing really high and at a really effective level. Now you get that talent gap is not in your favor any longer.
Mm-hmm.
How do these games look moving forward?
Speaking of that point spread, I've noticed earlier this week or yesterday even, I noticed it was 14.5. We're up to 16.5.
Yeah, bumped back up to 16.5.
Yeah.
Which means that's big money that's coming in. That isn't Vegas making a line adjustment.
That is a head scratcher to me, though, just watching the way that Oregon has played the first couple weeks.
Yeah. And look, they have their metrics and their formulas that they use.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of it is that you just go back and you watch the second half when that group of O-linemen was on the field together and you say, looks a little bit different, looks a little bit more comfortable. Uh-huh. They were driving down the field prior to, you know, the Patrick Herbert fumble, and it looked like they were going to tack on another one, and then that would have been a 14-point lead for Oregon.
Yeah.
Yeah, that feels a little bit different in that game because, as it was, Herbert fumbles, Ashton Gentry, sudden change, very first play of the next drive.
Was that the 70-yarder?
70 yards.
Yeah.
To the house.
And then Gabriel lost the fumble next drive.
Guys, and this is the thing about this. I cannot emphasize enough. Think back and go and look at when you have a sudden change and your defense goes from on the sideline to on the field, that's where explosive plays happen.
Yeah, it's jarring.
That is where you have big time plays.
Yeah.
And it's not surprising. You watch enough football, you say after a turnover, next play, you're going to, the likelihood of a big pop play goes through the roof. And that's the fire, though, that Oregon has been playing with over the first couple of weeks of the season, is those self-inflicted wounds lead to scores for the other team. A sudden change against Idaho, right? Well, I guess it wasn't all that sudden. You went for it on fourth down and didn't get it. But that momentum swing, the defense comes back on the field after a turnover on downs. Boom, what do you get?
Yeah.
Trick play touchdown.
Yep.
These things happen all the time. It happens all the stinking time. I'm excited for Oregon State this weekend, though.
Yeah.
There's so many questions surrounding this game, this matchup, and where we are at right now, that there's a lot of unrest, uneasiness on both sides of this matchup, but a lot of excitement, because for Oregon State, you can go out there and plant your flag, and you can for Oregon too, man.
Mm-hmm.
If they put it together, which we have not seen for 60 minutes yet in a football game.
So what is it, in terms of planting the flag, what are you looking for? What kind of a result are you looking for to say that Oregon really planted that flag?
The Oregon, it is, you run away.
Yeah.
The talent gap, like on paper, that talent gap is monumental.
Mm.
You got a Grand Canyon in talent gap right now.
Yeah. So are we talking near the spread?
With production that has been over the course of their careers in college, whether it's at Oregon or elsewhere, recruiting metrics, that is, it is covering and winning comfortably. Not
getting towards three scores plus.
Not the entire fan base biting their fingernails down to the cuticles.
Gotcha.
You know, like that is planting the flag for Oregon. For Oregon State, it's winning and being 3-0. I mean, my goodness. What an incredible feeling that would be.
Oh, absolutely.
All right. Go and vote on that poll with Oregon and Oregon State in different conferences. The Civil War will mean more, mean less, not change. We'll revisit that coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. We have some college football leftovers that we need to get to this hour. We have some NFL that we need to get to as well. There's so many leftovers.
Yeah, Mondays are always so full. So much to get to.
Let's stick with college and go to that college football grab bag, because we were talking about Oregon State's offensive line. They got two guys that were kicked to the curb by Colorado, and they were not treated well on the way out. It looks like Colorado's offensive line now also not getting treated well. Danny Dusty on the Fan.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I love Billy Joel.
Oh, same. My first ever, like, favorite artist as a kid.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
I've told this story before. I'm a Billy Joel baby.
Yeah.
My mom induced labor because she wanted to make sure she could drink at the Billy Joel concert.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
That is fandom right there. It just means more.
Yeah. 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 So
yeah, I finally got to see him. It was my 40th birthday. My wife got me tickets. So that was my first time I got to see him in concert.
And probably one of the more impressive things I've ever heard. One of my college roommates, he knew every word to "We Didn't Start the Fire."
Oh, I did at the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that song, that's ridiculously hard. Because it's not repetitive. The only repetitive part is "We didn't start the fire," and then every other thing, like the chorus, doesn't take up the majority of the song.
Yeah,
just these random historical events do.
Yeah. Now, of course, I was also in sixth, seventh grade, so I think a couple of those lyrics for me were kind of like
"Concrete jungle, wet dream tornado."
Yeah. Right. Touche. Touche. All right. Shedeur Sanders of the Colorado Buffaloes, they had their first setback of the season on Saturday, losing on the road in emphatic fashion to Nebraska.
You hate to see it.
Yeah, you know what? It's just one of those things you do. You hate to see it. It was 28-0 at the break. They end up winning 28-10. And once again, it definitely couldn't be anything but the offensive line.
I mean, how many times did Riley get touched?
You said what?
How many times did Riley get touched? There was able, like, points. Of course, whenever you're able to run the ball consistently, and whenever you're able to, then that opens up the pass, you know? But it's just like, you got to understand, like, what your team good at. So it's like, why would we keep running the ball if, okay, we out there and we get in a situation where it's a must get and we don't get it?
Are those like kind of like fourth and one conversions that haven't gone your guys' way in the last couple? Is that kind of play into everybody's mind? Is that kind of something on your mind thinking about, you know, advancing the ball and whatnot?
Nah, I'd rather, if we're going to go down, I'd rather go down swinging, honestly, because I know I could throw the best punch.
The back, 40 seconds of that? It's okay what he said. And I agree. I think that what Shedeur Sanders is saying in the back end of that is like, why run the ball when you're down big and you're just ramming your head into the wall, right?
Right.
And when you want to go down, you want to go down swinging. And their best shot is with his arm and Travis Hunter. It's that first 5 seconds, though, where you go, here we go again.
Yeah.
It was, you look at the protection that Dylan Raiola had compared to mine. That pick six, he had really damn good protection when he was in the end zone. It was really good protection that Colorado gave him.
Yeah.
And I just, you don't hear the offensive lineman going, yeah, well, you know, we can only protect so long. You got to get the ball out.
Right.
Because he was a quarterback that held onto the ball, one of the longest to do it in all of college football last year. And if your offensive line is really that bad, probably shouldn't be holding on the ball for very long. Like, these are the things where it's like, you want, like, 45 second clip, 40 seconds of what Shedeur Sanders said was legitimate, you like it, and you go, I'm in. But it's the 5 seconds that just completely loses me. That is my relationship with Colorado football right now. Mm-hmm. Is like, there are 40 seconds of 45 every time where I'm like, you know what? I can get behind this. But the 5 seconds are so bad and so glaring, you go, I'm done. There's no way, because this is going to be, again, we heard it at the beginning of the year, right? Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders playing in the NCAA video game. And they say this is just like real life because he gets sacked.
Well, what was one of his main criticisms last year of Shedeur Sanders was the sack numbers, and he was taking so many sacks because he didn't want his stats to look bad.
I'll tell you
what. Didn't want his completion percentage to drop.
6 sacks is a pretty bad stat.
Yeah.
To take, because you know what's a drive killer? A sack. You know what isn't a drive killer?
An incomplete pass, yeah.
Because 2nd and 5 or 3rd and 5 is a lot better than 3rd and 11 after you take a 6-yard sack, yep, right?
Absolutely.
And we've seen that kind of play out. And look, Shedeur Sanders is a very skilled thrower. He is.
Mm-hmm.
And he can process the game of football at an insanely high level. You aren't as productive as he is if you can't.
Right.
Awareness, zero.
Yeah.
And this is where you just, Coach Prime, Colorado, they lose me at every turn.
Now, how much, if at all, do you think Shedeur Sanders and his words and actions are, will that affect his draft stock?
Yes.
I mean, because there's talk of him being, you know, the number one quarterback off the board.
Yeah, it will. It will, because...
And one of the places where they might have been willing to take a leap on him in Dallas and Jarrah, well, look what just happened.
Well, and here's the thing about the quarterback position. Deshaun Watson, he's not a leader of the Browns.
No.
He isn't.
No.
We see it. We know, one, he's just not playing at the level he did before, but he's not a leader of that team because nobody trusts that guy. And a lot of guys in that locker room probably don't like him. You know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a big reality. You know, I heard, was it Colin this morning was saying, you know, look at the hype videos that they released, the Browns released. It's Jameis Winston.
Yeah. Back up.
There's a reason for it.
Yeah.
You know? And it's because he's not the leader of the team. And there's a reason why guys like Gardner Minshew keep getting shots and chances, right? It's not because he blows you away with his stature or his stats. It's because guys gravitate to him and guys like him. And that is a very important piece of being a quarterback, right? One of the things that Geno Smith in New York, they say one of the big failures was that fight where he got sucker punched by a teammate, mm-hmm. but a lot of teammates were just out on him early because he was young.
Yeah.
And he was immature. He's a different guy, but he needed to get across the country and
fresh start.
He had to prove it too. Yeah. And he did. I give Geno Smith a ton of credit, because how often do you see a guy lose a locker room and then go somewhere else and regain that locker room again? It's a really important piece of being a quarterback.
Yeah.
And just having that it factor in a guy that people trust, believe in, and want to be around.
Yeah. Well, and then that makes you wonder, too, not to say that Shedeur Sanders is losing his locker room or anything, but how difficult is that going to be for the rest of his locker room when the coach is daddy?
Yeah. Yep. Well, and protecting you at every turn.
Yes. And always has.
Yep. Oh, man. And all right. Well, Colorado at it again.
Yeah.
All right, it's time now for our worst day on the web. First is Rust with SportsCenter.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
All right, our worst day on the web. Is it really the worst day, or is it maybe a best day on the web? We go to a math teacher from Taiwan. This was brought to my attention by P1 Rufio. a math teacher from Taiwan named Chang Shu. He earns $270,000 every year.
Wow.
Yeah. By uploading calculus lessons to Pornhub. Yep. His slogan on his Pornhub channel is play hard, study hard. And he has parlayed a following on Pornhub by posting math lessons fully clothed at a chalkboard, just teaching math. Just teaching math to the folks. He's gotten subscribers on that, and the man might be just brilliant. And we may be doing school wrong. You know,
I guess.
This is what we're learning. So
they really had it right in Billy Madison, almost.
That is correct. All right. So he was sitting there spinning his wheels as a math teacher and an educator going, all right, how do I stick out here? This is the way to do it. So he went and he teaches a lot of online courses, in high-level math courses online. So because Pornhub has so many users on there, he was like, you know what? If I tag these videos the right way, I'll catch a bunch of people searching for, you know, I don't know, big up tops, big bumpers. And you know what? They're going to come across, they're going to be scrolling and be like, what is this? And they're going to click on it. And you know what? He was right.
I'm just curious what the tags he's using on there are.
You can go look them up. Do it on your work computer. It's show research. So his thinking was, because of the vast user base, which significantly exceeds that of more conventional educational platforms, his reasoning was straightforward. More visibility could potentially lead to more students for his paid courses. By leveraging the power of clickbait, he managed to attract nearly 3 million views and over 13,000 subscribers on Pornhub. As a result, more students have discovered his videos and purchased the course on his website, leading to a substantial increase to his income. How about that? He's teaching math.
I'm trying to think. What do we got there? Vectors and holy crap. It's been a long time since calculus. Yeah.
I don't think that he is like... He's not using like numerators as his tags on there. All right.
All right.
What he's doing is brilliant. I mean, he's using it as an advertising agency.
I mean, I'm guessing because you can't really, like I said, it's been a long time since calculus, but we're not exactly doing story problems here, right? So it's not like he's relating story problems
to
stepsister stuck in a couch or something.
No. Yeah. I don't know. Do you think he does like a video breakdown of like, if this was actually a plumber?
Checking your pipes.
Let's see how the math would check out on what's going on here. No, I don't think that's what's happening here. No, dude is just fully clothed. His videos are all safe for work. You can watch them start to finish. Maybe not the ads. And this is like the thing is like, dude's got 13,000 subscribers. On Pornhub. Pornhub's like, dude, if that many people are watching his videos on there, our ads that run before, those aren't safe for work.
No.
I can probably guarantee that one.
Yeah.
Like they got probably like ads after ad clocked in there.
Well, even so, look, if work is looking at your computer and they're like, why are you spending so much time on Pornhub?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the math videos.
Yeah.
Sure, Jim.
Yeah. No, seriously. Look at Chang Shu over here. He's a really good teacher. Also, take his course. Dude's got a point.
Does he not have a YouTube channel, too?
Yeah, but guess what? It wasn't working for him because he wasn't standing out above everybody else. The thing that's blowing me away in all of this, He has 3 million views and 13,000 subscribers.
Man.
In his like actual job, he's seen a significant increase in people enrolling in his classes online. This is...
That's all for the novelty factor. They're just like, hey, guess what? Guess whose class I'm taking?
But they're paying for it.
I'm taking Dr. Pornhub's class.
Yeah, but guess what? That guy, that's exactly what he wants, right?
Oh, man. Yikes.
So next time you're at home, you can just say educational purposes.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess that's one teacher that's not getting fired for being on Pornhub.
Yeah. I mean, he's thinking outside the box there, for sure. Lord. For sure. Yeah. And like, here we are. This guy's in Taiwan. Meanwhile, you know, like, we got kindergarten teachers on, you know, OnlyFans, and they're all getting fired.
Yeah.
You know? I think it's a little bit different. Yeah. But.
They're trying to check out her vectors.
Wow. God, really? Yeah. So, who knew? You can go learn math there.
I, for one, did not know. Yeah, that's a...
Yep.
Yeah, probably the last place I would have thought to look.
Yep. Yep.
Like, probably the last place I would have thought to look.
Yeah, well, there's 13,000 people subscribed to every video that he posts on there.
Boy, my goodness.
Yep. Chang Shu. Teaching math.
Math
in the most unique way possible.
Old man. No, it's Math Hub, I swear.
I'm just interested, like, what are we going to find next on there? You know? Like, who else is going to be like, you know what? I need to stand out, and because, like, YouTube, right? You can fix anything on YouTube. But how do you get your videos found if, like, you know, you want to, I don't know, mount a TV on your wall? Right?
Archaeology.
Maybe
some T-Rex bones.
And then there's going to be people like, I'm so out of that site. All this is learning. Next thing you know, it's going to be, they're going to have like an educational tab on there.
I feel like everybody that hates, you know, foreign films. If I wanted to read, I'd go home and read a book.
Yeah.
I'd go to the movies.
Yeah. So this guy is like, honestly, it's just like, it's just full on math he's teaching on there. So thank you, Rufio, for this one. This is
always looking out for us, that Rufio.
Yeah, that story really took me back. I was not knowing what to expect there.
Yeah, I was not prepared for that.
No.
But Chang Shu would make sure I'm prepared for class.
Vancouver Ford text line is on one too with this whole thing.
Oh.
All right.
Oh, goodness. Is that a parabola, or are you just happy to see me?
Okay. That's your worst day on the web.
It's the pleats.
It's fantastic. One of the best coaches in high school football suspended this past week. The reason? Surprising. Next on The Fan. Fall down, go boom. One of the best coaches in the history of Oregon high school football was missing on Friday night. Steve Corey is the head coach at Lake Oswego High School. He's been there for 32 years. And as good of a coach as Coach Corey is, dude is a phenomenal human being as well.
He is.
Over 32 years at LO, his players will ride and die for Coach Corey. The results speak for themselves on the field. Off the field, great dude as well. I saw this on Friday. For the first time in 32 years, Coach Corey won't be on the sideline tonight against Sunset. Two equipment penalties from last week's game resulted in him being disqualified. The OSAA has instituted and is cracking down on equipment violations across high school football. So how it goes is, now, equipment violations, they are stringent on this.
Mm-hmm.
You can only have one solid strip of eye black under each eye. Okay. You can only have a wristband on your arm that is no wider than 2 inches and worn directly on your wrist. So all of the bands gone. You wear an undershirt. Your undershirt has got to be, they're saying that they want their undershirt to be the same color as your pants. So it cannot be seen. Your undershirt must be tucked in. You can't wear a baklava or
balaklava?
Balaklava.
Yeah, baklava. That's a Greek dessert.
Yeah, that's a really good dessert.
Yeah.
Balaklava. You can't wear those. You can't have like the ski mask that you're wearing. Can't have any hoods popping out of your sweatshirt. A lot of these things I do agree with. But your socks. You have to have your socks have to, you can't have like a leg band and a sock, right? Or a sleeve and a sock. It's like they are cracking down on everything. Jerseys have to be at a certain length, must be tucked in at all times. That's not a new rule, but they are really cracking down. Back plates can't be showing over the course of a game. Your pants have to, your knee pads have to cover your knee at all times. Okay. If you've watched college or the NFL, a lot of receivers are basically wearing bike shorts out there.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to kind of curb that, the OSAA has instituted a rule. What happens? You get a warning. And then you get a 5-yard penalty. And the third time is a 15-yard unsportsmanlike on your head coach. The fourth time is a 15-yard unsportsmanlike on your head coach. He gets ejected from that game. And then he is suspended the next game.
Yikes. That seems severe.
Coach Corey got 2 of those penalties in their 0-week game.
Uh-huh.
And so he wasn't on the field for Lake Oswego versus Sunset this past weekend. LO handled Sunset. But I think that this is the wrong way to go about enforcing and policing uniform violations.
Right.
And what they want to do is be heavy-handed so they're not sitting there. And officials have such an incredibly tough job.
Yes.
I mean, and it sucks that you have to be like, hey, put your mouthpiece. And one of the new rules, too, which I told, and a lot of these rules I agree with on the uniform stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But to have it fall on the head coach getting ejected and then suspended for another game.
Yeah, it's the enforcement part of it.
You're talking about, all right, if a player forgets to put his mouthpiece in,
mm-hmm.
okay, for a play, that would be one of them. If you're wearing dangling two, they got rid of the 2 mouthpieces, which I always thought was so stupid.
Yeah.
That guys were wearing 2 mouthpieces on their helmet. That's so dumb. It looks dumb. You don't look cool.
Gotta have one for pass pro, one for run blocking.
Say you got a kid who gets a uniform violation because he's wearing his pants up too high. Then you have a kid with the mouthpiece out. You're sitting there and not all of them are created equally.
Right.
In between plays. And then you have the idea that a kid's undershirt gets untucked. It's dangling out the back.
Mm-hmm.
And you get an official that is going to be a stickler for it, as they are right now, flags him for that.
Ugh.
Now you're telling me on those 3 instances, you now have a 15-yard penalty against your head coach. And one more thing,
and the guy's gone.
He's gone for that game and then the next one?
Yeah, that just seems super heavy-handed.
Officials have an incredibly difficult job. And they don't get paid a lot to do it.
Right.
At the high school level.
No.
And I think that when we are to the point where we're ejecting coaches for not what he said and not what he did, but because of uniform violations, that doesn't sit well with me.
No.
And doing it early in the year, but are we going to have playoff games dictated by uniform violations then? Because not having your head coach on the sideline for a game is a big deal.
Yeah.
Especially a coach the caliber of, you know, like Coach Corey.
Mm-hmm.
Or any head coach on any game.
Yeah.
I think this is a little bit too far over the top. I would say a way too far over the top that we're getting coaches ejected and suspended for games because of uniform violations of all things. uniforms.
Yeah, that just there's got to be a different way that you can enforce this. I mean, right?
You would think.
Yeah, I guess the part that really to me seems the most egregious part is being suspended for the next game.
Yep, that's the ridiculous part.
Yeah, I mean, I understand after a certain amount of violations, I guess during the game something's got to happen. But yeah, to have it all, I don't know. So every team's got their get back coach. Now, do we need a uniform coach too?
I mean, as a high school coach, like it is so difficult to police every player at every turn. And like you feel like you're just the fun police all left and right. Nope, can't wear that. Can't do that. Can't wear that. Nope. But like some of the things are like, all right, so you wear a kid's wearing like a wristband, like the thin wristbands on their legs. Is that hurting anybody?
No.
No. If a kid wants to wear 800 wristbands on his arm, you're affecting your play, not anybody else's.
Yeah.
That probably shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah.
Like the knee pads covering the knees, it's always been something that I've been like, I used to shave my knee pads down to basically nothing. Like they would just be tiny little circles. Cover your kneecap. That's it.
Yeah.
I would do the bare minimum on that. Right. And I understand we don't like having the bike shorts. That one I get. I understand that. But we shouldn't be throwing coaches out for it.
No. And it's unfortunate. I guess part of what seems it makes it seem so egregious too is like you said at the beginning of the segment with Steve Corey, nicest guy ever.
Yeah, great dude.
I worked with him at CSN doing the CSN game day show, and yeah, he was always the nicest dude. Yeah. And I think back then even he was maybe top 10 still all time in receptions at Oregon State.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, he's a baller.
Yeah.
Steve Corey's great. I love that. But yeah, you're not allowed to do anything anymore. I don't get it.
And I get like the uniform, the rules and the things that you got to have in there, but some of them seem so arbitrary. Make sure it's just based on safety. Yeah. And outside of that, you know, who cares?
I hope this is like in the NBA, in the NFL, where they have their point of emphasis early. You see a lot of penalties and then all of a sudden it just kind of,
it's like, wait, what? Yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Yeah, and I know the officials don't want to throw these flags. A majority of them don't want to. But there are some that are way over the top with it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they got run into. This text on the Vancouver 4 text line. Enforcement is simple. If a kid is in violation, they're sent to the sideline until they're in compliance. Nothing gets a 16-year-old as a punishment harder than not being able to play. Yeah. Like, I don't know why they're just pinning this on a head coach, too. Yeah. Like, yeah, it's your team, but just, like, what they used to do is just send them off. Send them off.
Mm-hmm.
And that does. When you have kids that just have to sit on the sideline, nope. They don't want that. Get them back in as quickly as they can. All right. This, another texture. OSA has become an old man yelling at the clouds. Don't they have more constructive things to focus on besides being uber punitive and on untucked shirts and wristbands? Seems ridiculous and misguided. Yep, it does.
Yep.
But if your kid wants more than one mouthpiece, you know, I think that's parenting. We need to crack down on that. Just be like, you have one. What do you need two from your helmet for? You look dumb.
What could possibly necessitate two mouthpieces?
Well, rust, drip. Final answer. That's what they call it. Just drip. It's drip. That's what it is.
We're not talking saliva, though, right?
No, it's what it all comes down to, my dude. Oh, man. Yeah. And as Coach B-Rod says, I hope Coach ran those kids. How can those kids allow that to happen? Or captains of the team? You know what? I have a feeling it was a real tough, real tough,
real
Monday.
Tough practice. Yeah.
Yeah.
I bet. I bet. Man.
Oh, man. All right. 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. Hey, the top quarterbacks in the NFL sure look different on Sunday when you think about it. And a lot of people are talking about how bad quarterback play was. Some surprisingly good performances next on The Fan.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.